Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. Somebody once said, there are three ingredients in the good life: learning, earning, and yearning. There's great truth in that saying. The key to getting everywhere you want to be in life is not MasterCard, but learning. On yesterday's call, we discussed scriptural business strategies to increase your learning and earning power. Regardless of whether you're employed or self-employed, underemployed, or no longer employed, these principles apply to every area of your life. But first, before we continue, let's do a brief review of what we talked about yesterday. Number one, seek God's direction on how to handle your business. Ecclesiastes 8:16, the Living Bible. In my search for wisdom, I observed all that was going on everywhere across the earth. Ceaseless activity, day and night. Of course, only God can see everything. And even the wisest man who says he knows everything doesn't.
Number two, God wants you running an honest business. Proverbs 16:11 in the Message Bible says, God cares about honesty in the workplace. Your business is his business. If there is but one thing that you can get from today's call, it should be that your business is God's business. And God wants his business run honestly.
Number three, offer a quality product and service. Proverbs 20:8, Message Bible says, leaders who know their business and care keep a sharp eye. A sharp eye out for shoddy and cheap. For who among us can be trusted to always be diligent and honest?
Number four, plan ahead. Prior proper planning precipitates positive progress in performance, preventing possible problems and predicaments. As you know, we like to say that.
Yes, we do.
Proverbs 6:4 in the New Living Translation says, don't put it off, do it now. Don't rest until you do. So let's pick up where we left off yesterday, honey.
Sounds good. Number five, treat everybody fairly. 1 Thessalonians 4:6-7, and the Amplified Bible says, that no man transgress and overreach his brother, and defraud him in this matter, or defraud his brother in business. For the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we have already warned you solemnly and told you plainly.
Wow.
I want to give you a couple of examples. Let's say you own a heating and air conditioning business. You give a customer a quote for a new system for $7,000, and he signs the contract. However, you're able to complete the job for $6,500 because of an unexpected savings on some material cost. Do you owe the customer a refund on the $500 difference? No, because you didn't cut corners on the cost and you delivered everything as you agreed. But let's say you own a Christian bookstore. You sell a person a Bible for $50. After they leave, you realize the wrong barcode had been placed on the Bible, and it should have sold for $40. Do you try to find the phone number for the customer so you can return the $10? Or do you just smile and think, you made a little extra money today? No, you find the customer because they weren't treated fairly. Deuteronomy 25:13-15, in the Living Bible. And all your transactions, you must use accurate scales and honest measurements so that you will have a long, good life in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Honesty in the marketplace is also mentioned in Proverbs 11:1, Classic Amplified. A false balance and unrighteous dealings are extremely offensive and shamefully sinful to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Luke 6:31, the English Standard Version. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them.
Number six, with God's help, you can take on even established businesses. You're going to find competition in the marketplace. And we find a little self-examination on the basics is a great place to start. First, who exactly is your customer? Second, determine why does your customer buy? Third, what does your customer consider value? Fourth, what is it that makes your product or service superior to that of any of the competitors? Fifth, why is it that your prospective customer does not buy your product or service? Sixth, why does your prospective customer buy from your competitor? And seventh, what value does he or she perceive in buying from your competitor? Eighth, how can you offset the perception and get your competitor's customer to buy from you? And ninth, what one thing must your customer be convinced of to buy from you rather than from someone else? From a natural standpoint, we would suggest probably your sales environment. Now that we've given you like the natural thought on how you can take on, well, even established businesses, let us share what the Word of God says. 1 Samuel 17:33. There's a little hidden value in this. 1 Samuel 17:33 in the Message Bible says, Saul answered David, "You can't go and fight this Philistine. You're too young and inexperienced, and he's been at this fighting business since before you were born. You have a not so silent business partner. It's called the Holy Ghost, Jesus, and God the Father."
That's it.
"When you read your Bible, you get to do what it says. So you could take on whatever is competition you have with the wisdom and the help of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit."
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Number seven. If you don't keep your word in business, you suffer the consequences. If you promise a customer, a client, a business associate, or anyone that you're going to do a certain thing and you don't, then you lost credibility with that person. Your reputation as a doer is important, but it's equally important that you be known as a finisher. Promising to do something, then failing to do so, is a reflection of your character. If you promise to perform a certain task for a customer, friend, neighbor, and fail to keep your word, it is in fact a reflection on your integrity, and you will suffer the consequences of being thought of as unreliable. Over the years, we've talked with a number of people who couldn't understand why they weren't debt-free, why they could never get ahead, why sad things were always happening to them, where their harvest had manifested. Yet upon further discussion, we discovered instances where they'd failed to keep their word and promises they had made. There are two things God wants from you, according to Psalm 50:14 in the Contemporary English Version. "I am God Most High. The only sacrifice I want is for you to be thankful and keep your word." First, God wants us to be thankful for everything he's done and is doing through our lives. Second, God is very specific in saying he wants us to keep our word. So it should be pretty clear that being thankful and keeping our word are very important to God. So they should be very important to us.
That's so true. Number eight, let's go back to our little saying. Inspect what you expect to prevent defects. Or simply said, we need to inspect what we expect to prevent defects if we want to be perfect in our plan. As we were preparing for this call, we came across Lamentations 3:40. In the New Living Translation, it says, "Instead, let us test and examine our ways. Let us turn back to the Lord." In monitoring progress, we find that any turning from the Lord or minimizing our time with him can eventually adversely affect our progress. That's why it's so important to spend time with God every day and let His Holy Spirit monitor us, because monitoring and self-examination is one of the most important things we can do. And He will, by His Spirit, let us know what's going on.
Absolutely.
1 Timothy 4:15 in the New Living Translation says, "Give your complete attention to these matters. Throw yourself into your tasks so that everyone will see your progress." Focus is critical to the success of your daily plan, which impacts the success of the decisions you make and the actions you take. That's why your complete attention to detail, every detail, is important. Checking your progress each day around lunchtime and make any necessary adjustments, ensuring your success. One final thought. Galatians 6:4 in God's Word translation says, "Each of you must examine your own actions. Then you can be proud of your own accomplishments without comparing yourself to others." We need to only compare ourselves to ourselves and do better.
I know. Absolutely. 9, diligent in business will bring you before great people. A quick scan of Proverbs reveals several reasons why everyone should be a diligent worker, whether for yourself or your employer. We discovered something rather interesting as we were studying diligent, which is the Hebrew word H2742, and it's found 18 times in 17 verses in the King James Bible. In 5 of those verses, the Hebrew word is translated as diligent. However, in 6 of those verses, it's translated as, get ready for this, gold.
Wow.
Being a diligent worker is equated with gold. If you want the gold, the riches in life, you must be diligent. Here are several verses that makes this point. Proverbs 10:4, Classic Amplified. "He becomes poor who works with a slack and idle hand, but the hand of the diligent makes rich." Proverbs 12:24, Message Bible. "The diligent find freedom in their work, the lazy are oppressed by their work." Hallelujah. That's stuff to make you think. Proverbs 21:5 in the New Living Translation says, "Good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty." Wow. There's a different Hebrew word, H4106, used in Proverbs 22:29 in the Classic Amplified. And here's that verse. "Do you see a man diligent and skillful in his business? He will stand before kings. He will never stand before obscure men." In this verse, diligent means quick, prompt, skilled, ready. Hallelujah. If you want to stand before a king or a person of authority, you must be skilled, ever ready, and your performance must be gold of the greatest value. Can somebody say
hallelujah?
Finally, Hebrews 12:2-3, Message Bible. We better get on with it. Keep our eyes on Jesus. Study how He did it, because He never lost sight of where He was headed.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Go to haroldherring.com. If you've been blessed by the teaching and the ministry, click on the button that says sow a seed. Just ask God, what seed did have you sow? Sow wherever asked. We'll continue this tomorrow. We'll finish, in fact.
Yes.
But until then, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. Bye-bye.